It's Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? Much more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all men sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the gift of the one man, Jesus, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For judgment follows one trespass, brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For it, because of one man's trespass, reigned through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So far God's word.
This afternoon we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 23, which deals with the subject of justification by faith alone. And Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's consider that peace. And so Lord's Day 23, it's found on page 31 in the Creeds and Confessions books that are in your seats, the seats in front of you, has three questions with regard to this teaching of justification by faith alone. But notice it's tied together with the Apostles' Creed. What good does it do you, however, to believe all this? Now, the all this would be the Apostles' Creed, which we've been considering in the previous Lord's days. What good does it, however, do you, however, to believe all this? And it answers, in Christ I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them. And even though I'm still inclined toward all evil. Nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Then question answer 61 on the next page. Why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? It is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word as we consider it this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. You've heard us sing, take your truth, plant it deep within us. Shape and fashion us in the likeness of your Son. And that is our prayer. We pray for the presence of your Spirit to use your word as it's proclaimed this afternoon as a means of grace, to open our eyes to the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ alone, but also to strengthen our faith in dependence on him. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to this article, or this Lord's Day, actually, this Lord's Day is one of those resounding strengths of the Heidelberg Catechism. It's similar to Lord's Day 1 when we speak of the comfort that belongs to us in body and soul of belonging to our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a question and answer in Lord's Day 23. How are you right with God? This is one of the most important issues of who we are and what we are, of our existence, of our life, of our reflection. Before and above all else, this question must be answered by you. All of us will have to stand before God and answer this question, why we are right with him. What will you say? What will you say? We have to say what God wants to hear. Do you know what God wants to hear on that day when he calls every one of us to account before him? How are you right with me? Why should I allow you into my eternal presence? This Lord's Day reminds us that our doctrine, our teaching, our awareness of the truth of God's word needs to apply as the foundation of our salvation. And this is one of those practical questions. You believe the Apostles' Creed. You say it regularly. So what? What difference does it make? Notice that first question. What good does it do you to believe all this? And it maximizes our understanding of the Apostles' Creed. All this. It's very specific. It's not just, oh, are you a believer? What good does it do you to be a believer? No, it targets our faith to the teaching of the apostles. What good does it do you to believe in the triune God? Why is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your hope, your certainty, your peace, your comfort in life and in death? Notice as well the expansion of this. It says, believe all this, not only this. Sometimes we want the gospel boiled down to a nutshell and say, give it to me in its simplest, cleanest form. And the Catechism reminds us this afternoon, no, there is something comprehensive that we need to understand. All this, don't boil it down to its simplest level. Fill the depths. Fill your heart with the depths and the wonder of who our God is. And allow that to be your comfort. Believe all this. And lastly, what good does it do you? What benefit do you receive from this? How does this help you as you go into the week to face your day-to-day tasks that you are called to do? And the very short summary is, in Christ, I am right with God and an heir to life everlasting. I'm right with God and have an eternal inheritance. This is what Paul is getting at in Romans 5, verse 1, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that peace? That's what I'd like to consider this afternoon. What does it mean to be right with God? It means we have a new identity. It means we have a foreign identity. And thirdly, we have a free identity. A new, foreign, and free identity that makes up our existence of living before God, of knowing the peace and the comfort that comes in belonging to Him. We have a new identity. We're having an identity crisis in our culture. There's no mistake. This has come to pass through a variety of different reasons. And we look within, and we're encouraged to look within and to find within ourselves how we feel about ourselves and how do we feel on that day. And that's how we can gain our identity. But God's word drives us in a different direction. And it tells us that, no, we need to recognize that our identity doesn't come from within. That when we're called to be true to self, we need to think back and say, no, Scripture calls us to be true to His Word. But that's a challenge, isn't it? How do you change who you are? I guess the question we have to ask today is, well, must you change who you are? And yes, God's Word is pretty clear. You do have to change who you are. But how do you do that? Have you ever thought about moving somewhere else and maybe taking up a new life in a different location, and then you could develop new habits. You could be someone different. You wouldn't have all the baggage of people who know you, and you could live a different life. You could start over again. I think that's one of the challenges we face with a new building. Does this new building make us new people? No, it doesn't. We're still the same people who need to work to conform ourselves unto the image of Jesus Christ. But now today, you don't even have to move to change your identity. We can do that electronically. We can make up a whole persona online, and we can present ourselves with a completely different image than who we really are. But we don't only do that online. We do this with ourselves. We do it every day in our relationship with God. We think of ourselves as self-sufficient. I can make it on my own. We look at ourselves and we think, we're a good person. We're better than so-and-so. And God's word says, no. No. You need a new identity. God's word is pretty clear, very direct, and sometimes painful in the way it addresses who we are. It tells us the truth. Here is the great physician who is concerned for your soul, and he gives you the proper diagnosis. He's not going to plaster over the symptom and say, oh, it's just a minor disease. It will go away. Just give it time. The great physician comes and says, this is the diagnosis. Did you hear that? Three different ways that were described by God in Romans 5 as it's speaking about the wonder of what it means to have peace with God in justification by faith alone. Verse 6, while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. This is who you are. You're weak. You're not self-sufficient. You're weak. Verse 8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners. Verse 10. if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Verse 12, sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We're all dead men. And you realize, don't you, if this is your identity, if this is your character, there is no peace with God. There can't be. There can't be. There can't be peace between a holy God and someone who is a sinner. There can't be peace with God with a holy God who is righteous and just and someone who is an enemy. And yet we need to recognize what we have in Jesus Christ is precisely what we can't attain by ourselves, but God gives it in His grace. He gives us a new identity so that sinners are received by God as saints. Saints. Enemies who are hostile to God come and receive in Jesus Christ that new identity as heirs to life everlasting. What an astounding transition has taken place. A saint, a holy one, someone who is right by God. Is that really true? Because it seems so different from what we see in our lives. A new identity in Christ. In Christ. Now when you think about yourself, as you consider who you are, think about who Christ is, what Christ has done, what He has accomplished. And the next question and answer unfold that for us, and they remind us of the grace and the glory and the blessing of knowing Christ, because He bestows upon us a foreign identity, something that's not natural to us. We're not naturalized Christians. We have a foreign identity, an identity that is not ours by nature, but is ours, bestowed by grace and received in faith. In fact, it is the unnatural character of this identity that our catechism draws our attention to, and I think is so valuable in our pastoral awareness of who we are and the struggles we need to face, because it takes us into the deep, dark moments of the night of our souls when we awake and toss and turn before God and wrestle with what we have done. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That doesn't cancel out my awareness of sins. In fact, it heightens my awareness of sins. My conscience, the deepest resources of my soul, accuses me. Never mind the devil, because we know he will attack, but now it's my conscience, my own soul, my own awareness of where I stand with God, that accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, not just some of them, against all of them, and of never having kept any of them. That's what we put our hand. I'm a sinner, and I'm aware of that. Not only do I have actual sins, I have original sins that flow from my heritage in Adam. And I haven't moved beyond those. Even as a believer, this is the testimony of a believer, even though I'm still inclined toward all evil. Do you see how dependent you are in life upon God's hand of grace sustaining you? Left to myself, I realize I'm still inclined toward all evil. That's a natural inclination. Without God's hand of grace supporting me, restraining me, holding me in and holding me together, but for the grace of God, there go I. That's me. But now, is it right then to have that new identity as saints and heirs. We don't deserve it. We can't do it. And that's the point of grace. That's the wonder of our redemption. That's the glory and the blessing of knowing God's work. That the identity we have is not ours. And while we bring these accusations and we need to wrestle with our own conscience and we need to recognize our own inclination and we need to stand and own our sin and say, yes, that's me, we counter that and we conclude from that the glory of the gospel, nevertheless, and in that word, nevertheless, is the whole hope of God's grace. It's one of those glorious exchanges that are found in the gospel. Paul speaks of it in Ephesians 2. That we're dead in our trespasses and sins, but God in grace makes us alive in Christ. Here is the nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, simply for the blessing of bestowing his riches on us in Jesus Christ, out of sheer grace, God gives me a gift. He grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. This is the vital word of the gospel, that word which we call imputation, that God looks upon us in our misery and he takes what is Christ and he puts it over us and he imputes it, he imparts it to us, he declares it to be part of our relationship to him. Can you imagine that's how God justifies us by grace? Through faith. So that, here's the glorious conclusion, it's as if I'd never sinned nor been a sinner. We've just brought accusation against ourselves. We just had to deal with our conscience. We just had to recognize our own inclinations. This is such a foreign identity, but it is a saving identity that is found in Jesus Christ alone. I have his righteousness. It's as if I'd been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. There is grace in those words because Christ was perfectly obedient for us. He didn't come on earth simply to obey because he had to. He came to obey because he wanted to, the Father, to impute that to our account. The splendor of this covenant of grace by which God shares with all those represented by Christ gives us the fullness of this foreign identity in Christ. It's as if I never sinned nor been a sinner. Oh, when you awake at the night of your soul and toss and turn because of the guilt of your sin and your own conscience accuses you and Satan himself might lay the charge at your feet, you have to say, yes, that's me. But God, nevertheless, God grants and credits to me everything, perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness in Christ. Oh, sinner, look at Christ and see this foreign identity and lay claim to the wonder of what he says in grace and counter those accusations. But in Christ, I'm a saint. Not without him, but in him. And how do you obtain this identity? It's freely given. This new standing is all yours by God's declaration. Because God says this in his word. And so you need to believe his word. So often we're tempted to laud the virtues of faith. Isn't it a strong faith that causes us to live obediently? No, it's not. How often we're concerned, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There needs to be some hook. There needs to be some obligation. Well, if we believe we need to do something, no, that's not the case. You receive this identity, this foreign identity, this gracious identity, this new identity freely, freely. By faith alone. By faith alone. Why is it faith alone? We need to be careful here. There's two errors. One, we inflate the value of faith. And we say, God receives me as right. And so we say, I'm right because I believe. Oh no, it's not because you believe. because that would deflate the value of Christ's work. We're right because Christ has obeyed, satisfied, and fulfilled everything that I could not do. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. We may not inflate the value of faith and say it's because I believe, nor may we deflate the value of Christ's work and say there's something more I need to do to get myself right with God. God says no. Turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him, you who are weak, ungodly, enemies, sinners, and see in him the Savior of your souls. What good does it do you to believe all the work of the triune God and to say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is all your activity, this is all your accomplishment? It gives you peace and gives you an inheritance that is all from God, all through God, and all for God. I'm right with him. I, a sinner, will be received because of Christ. And there's no question when we stand before him and he asks, why are you right with me? And we say, because of Christ alone. And I believe that with all my heart. There is no doubt that he will welcome you for eternity. Right with God. Your eternal inheritance. A new identity. A foreign identity. A free identity. All received by faith. Amen.